So we have a closed canopy. We have a shelter too, but this is a closed canopy, and this is a great spot to potentially see a barred owl. So I'm gonna call. It will call to us if it's around, but every owl has a distinct call. Some have toots, some have whistles, some have hoots. One day I found in this park a barred owl, a northern saw-whet owl, a long-eared owl, a barn owl, and a great horned owl, five species of owls in this park. And they don't all live here year-round, but there's enough habitat where this diversity of species can find home, can find food and shelter in this park. And actually, there's a little trail I take in here that I'm looking for. You know, if you look at throughout human history, there's never been a culture or a people that's had an ambivalence towards owls. You know, they're guardians of villages, or they're prophetic signs, or they're portentous signs, or they're symbols of death, or they're omens. And why is that? And I think it's because owls, like ourselves, stand up erect. They have flat faces, forward-looking eyes. And I think they remind us of ourselves, but yet they're comfortable in places and at times where we're not comfortable. So it's as if they're us, but with superpowers. So I think because of the calls and they come out at night, they seem ghost-like, you know, like from another world. Sometimes I'll be 30 feet up in a tree. Sometimes I will be in a kayak. Sometimes I will be under the snow. In the snow, all kinds of stuff. I set myself in a position where I'm not going to be offensive to the owl, and then I don't call with the device, but I call with my voice. At this point, by the way, I'm listening for two things, an owl or the young giving begging calls. If they think I'm mom, they may give begging calls, and then we'll be able to find the babies by hearing the begging calls. The thing is, the shape of an owl is a shape that all animals know and hate. So all birds, and even some other animals, will react to that shape and will either try to drive it from their territory or will make a lot of alarms to tell their young and their flock mates that this is dangerous. So oftentimes the easiest way to find an owl is to listen. See, here's robin squawking. That's kind of a weird call for the end of the day. That's an alarm call. So is it a raccoon? Is it a cat? Is it an owl? The thing that set me off was there were alarm calls, but it wasn't just one bird, it's multiple birds. And multiple birds doing an alarm call means predator. Yeah, there's something in here. Okay. Sure enough, I got an owl. Here he is, it's a barred owl. Check it out. See, and all the robins are freaking out. This is a barred owl. They're prolific breeders. They are, this looks like a female because it's larger. There's a really good chance, given the season, that there's young close by. She's larger to protect the nest and to produce more eggs and to keep more warm. He's smaller because it makes him more agile in pursuit of prey. Oh, now we have a hawk came in, a Cooper's hawk. And you know why that came in? It heard the birds screaming, so they knew they were panicking, so it saw an easy meal because the birds are concerned about the owl. So the Cooper's hawk that eats mostly birds came in to get the birds that were harassing the owl, which dispersed the birds. Now the owl's free. My hopes went that high, but that was cool. I suspect, remember I told you that if I called it, it may come in or it may move and start to get harassed. So I believe that when I called, it moved. It came in to investigate. It didn't come all the way in, and that's when the robins went nuts. When I was at UW, I was in the business school, and I come from a really conservative background. And I understand the argument that would lead to decreased regulation and restrictions and laws when it comes to resource exploitation and usage. I have also worked in nonprofit, so I understand what they're working for. I assume people are smart. And I assume liberals are smart and conservatives are smart, and it's just a matter of what information's at our disposal. So what I want to photograph are things that invite people in, ambassadors, if you will, so that people can look at the facts and decide for themselves. I mean, look at the tones in the grasses. Best views in the Olympics. And you get just amazing post-sunsets out here. Look at that, gorgeous. My first time watching an owl hunt was down in the meadow out there. My neighbor and I watched barn owls hunt in the meadow. You know, I really believe one of the problems that we have today in our society is that we're so far removed from nature, we don't even realize what we're missing, and that we are of nature. You know, we're part of it. We're inspired by it. And, you know, when you're out, you come back, the food tastes better. You hear more, you see more. And we don't have many of those places in the city that we can go off to. And it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country, but yet we can't create more parkland. If it wasn't for Discovery Park and what it offers as it is today, being a place of solace and inspiration, I wouldn't live in Seattle because there's no other neighborhood, there's no other park that gives me that same sense of center, you know, the same centering that this park does. It's the place I launch into the world from.